And it always, it received very favorable reviews. I've heard it several times, which is an indication that it was performed correctly.
Yes.
Because this was before my time, composed long before I entered, Eric entered my life, so to say. And when I have heard it, it means that it was had staying power.
Yes.
It was even later performed after it was composed.
One significant component it contains is a theme and variations movement. I say significant because this is the first manifestation, I know at least, of a Baroque form used in the works of Eric Zeisel, and we're going to find Baroque forms surfacing again and again in practically every major composition he was to compose. When did this interest in Baroque procedures surface, or what can you tell us about this?
I think it was always there. It was a wish, a desire, something Eric was striving for. And why the Baroque influence? I think it is there in Vienna, wherever you go, you have these Baroque buildings, and I think the Baroque time is a time of intense religiosity, and Eric was a religious person by nature. And the counterpoint was something that had eluded him at first, but that he was striving for, and I think successfully striving. The larger forms, I think he never completely attained the mastery in this. Strangely enough, I think Stravinsky had the same problems and was all his life striving to do abstract, at least when in our talks, he talked with Eric about it and said that it was a great problem for him and that he was striving and trying to attain it.
Yes. Can you mention the subsequent fate of this piece? Because I think there's a moral to be derived from the story, perhaps.
Well, we took it to America, and it was there, and then I don't quite know anymore the year, but it was the year in which Eric orchestrated a Tchaikovsky operetta for the Philharmonic, a fellow by the name of Bachheimer, and there was a young conductor by the name of Steininger, Franz Steininger, who came from Vienna, and who had heard of Eric, and he came to Eric and asked Eric if he would. He had arranged melodies of Tchaikovsky to a story, a simple love story, and wanted Eric to orchestrate that, and Eric got $2,000 for that, and it was a great moment in our lives, because after that we had never seen that much money in one piece in our life in America. So Eric did it, and it was given to a man by the name of Rubin, I think, to copy. We became friendly in the exchange of the work with him.
Yes.
And at one time he arranged this trio to be played. He was doing chamber music at his house. And that is the last time I know that it was there and it was played. And we never, either Eric left it there or I really don't know what happened afterwards because it wasn't there afterwards.
Yes, the moral apparently is that what a fragile link connects a work that is unpublished with posterity.
Yes.
So if you have only one or two copies and they're lost.
Absolutely. I think quite a few things got lost this way. I think Eric had many more songs than are there.
Oh,
because
really?
Sometimes when he wanted to give or dedicate a song to somebody like a present, he would take that song and he was too lazy to copy it. And that was it.
They didn't have Xeroxes then.
No.
The second significant composition of 1928 is a marvelous cycle entitled Mondbilder. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about the poet of this cycle and the overall fascination with the moon that one finds in this piece and in many Viennese works in general.